This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls. And I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's absolutely fantastic to have you listening. In a nutshell, my name's Sharon Hartley from Lancashire in the northwest of England. Took a break from booze 4 years, 4 months and about 4 days ago, something like that. And that's all it was ever meant to be, a 90-day break from booze. I thought life would be crap without it. I thought it'd be boring. I thought it'd be dull. I thought it'd be miserable. It turns out the polar opposite is true. And here I am now singing about sobriety to the world, actually. We've got quite a big global audience now singing about sobriety. I don't do it on my own. Really proud to be doing this with Ben Anderson, new daddy Ben. Can we keep saying that, Ben, forever?
Yeah. And I've now got to call you Auntie Shaz because you came to Liverpool, where I live, on Sunday for a coffee that kind of blows your head off coffee. I do make
it strong.
And you met baby Leo for the first time. And
I came
for his Auntie Shaz.
Coffee and a cuddle, and it was the best Sunday morning ever.
Just to clarify, the coffee and the cuddles weren't cuddling. She was cuddling Leo.
Sorry, clarify that, Ben, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
We don't talk about that publicly. My name is Ben, and I live in Liverpool. I'm 34 years old, and I am now over 2.5 years alcohol-free, which is bonkers. I'm accidentally sober is the phrase I like to use, because I fully intended to go back to drinking after a three-month break. That's what I committed to, 3 months, and I wasn't even going to change my drinking. I wasn't going to use it as a reset and a re-evaluation. I was planning to just literally go cold turkey for 3 months and then go back to drinking exactly how I was before. But then something strange happened, and that was the benefits of sobriety, annoyingly, started happening pretty much straight away. So I decided to double it, and I extended it to 6 months. I got to six and decided to double it again. I got to 12 months. And then on day 366, I objectively looked at drinker me versus non-drinker me and thought, they're two very different people, and I much prefer this version. And everyone else likes this version, non-drinker me, a lot more as well. Really excited to chat to our guest today. Shaz, you know our guest from way back in the day, don't
yeah,
you?
Back in ye olden days of early days of sobriety. Cassie, it's brilliant to see you again. Cassie Ridley from Essex, welcome to the podcast. You know what, Cassie, I think the last time we spoke, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it in a filthy field near an assault course?
It was, yeah. It was a Spartan race.
It was. It
absolutely
was.
And I got to meet
you
for real. But we both ran the London Marathon last year, and I didn't even know you was doing it.
Well, you know what? There's a bit of a story behind that, and we won't go into it all now.
I think because I did hear it. Yeah, you didn't want to put yourself out there and be a bit vulnerable,
no.
Did you?
And for the first time in my life, it was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep this on the down low. Just going to keep it quiet. So I trained quietly. It wasn't in secret. I just kept it quiet. And then what I did, I say I ran the London Marathon. I was like a bloody fat snail. But you know what, Cassie? I got round, and genuinely, I wish I'd have bumped into you. That would have been amazing. How did you get on, by the way?
Yeah, I was like a snail too.
Oh, we probably crossed the line around the similar time then.
Yeah, I got round, and I was just so happy to have achieved it. It was just a lifetime achievement. It was brilliant. Loved it. Always wanted to do it since giving up drinking and, you know, having my hips done. It was always just like a dream. But 6 months after giving up the booze, I had both my hips done, and that was it. It was just life-changing. So to complete that marathon was just amazing. Wow. Loved it.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. Really, really well done. My resolution, Cassie, for 2023, as Ben knows, is never, ever, ever to run again. That's it. Job done.
Again. Ever for anything.
Full stop.
I haven't run since either. I love walking. I want to climb more mountains, but yeah, running, no, not for me. I've been given a second chance at walking, so I don't want to do it again.
Absolutely. Well, Cassie, it's brilliant to have you here. Before we get into a good old chat about all things alcohol-free, about what you get up to and what you do and what led you to sobriety, just tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, what do you do?
Yeah, so I live in Essex with my three boys. Got my own home now. Lots of changed in the 4 years, nearly 4 years. I'm a hairdresser by trade, so I cut people's hair still. And then on a sideline, obviously I trained as a coach with Andy Ramage, and I have created my own self-development stuff, and I run a community of people to change their habits, not just alcohol, although alcohol is pivotal. It's any habit change. That's what I do, and that's what I'm passionate about.
I love this. So many people that we speak to on the podcast start out, you know, stumbling through sobriety in those early weeks and those early days. And then you've racked up a year, and then you're into year two. And people just, well, it's life changing, isn't it? You know, they qualify as coaches and go on and want to help others. Before we get into all that, take us back to why you started an alcohol-free journey.
Oh, because my life had just become unbearable. I was just so unhappy, and I'd searched, I'd gone down a lot of routes before. I went to church, I tried AA. It wasn't just alcohol, I had a drug problem as well. So I did manage to, through going to church, I believe, somebody up there helped me, or perhaps I helped myself, I don't know. I like to think of myself more spiritual now rather than religious. But I'm very open to anything. But going to church, yeah, sort of helped me, keep me on the straight and narrow, stop me from participating in stuff I didn't want to participate in. But that alcohol was always there. I still couldn't let go of that. And it just made me so unhappy. I was more of a at-home drinker. And me and my husband, it was a codependent relationship, you know. We both were as bad as each other. He wanted to keep me and hold me there, I suppose. He wanted his playmate, and that's what happens, doesn't it? And it just takes one of you to think, I just can't do this anymore. And I had my rock bottom moment, I suppose, and I just couldn't do it anymore. It was either I was gonna end my life, you know. I just felt so desperate. I was so unhappy.
I was just going to ask you then, before you said those last few words, what was your rock bottom? But it doesn't get any worse than that, I suppose, does it?
No, my rock bottom was, you know, I think I drank a hell of a lot that night, and my kids were upstairs in their bedroom, and I was screaming and crying, just saying I wanted to end my life. I was just in a terrible state. And the next day, it took a friend, actually, to say to me, you know, you're the only one that can change your life. Nobody else can change it for you. And it was just those words were just like a slap round the face to me. And I must have started Googling, and then that was it.
Can I ask you, if you don't mind, Cassie, how old were your kids at the time?
So Lewis was probably 18. Joseph was 13. Ethan was about 8. Yeah, 7, 8. Yeah, so, yeah, they'd been through a hell of a lot as well. They had everything, and they always went to school. I think I was quite, I wasn't a really bad mother, even though I feel like I am now, looking back. But, yeah, they was always dressed well, fed. They always had everything they needed. They always turned up at school. So I was coping. That's the sad thing, that I was just coping. Just treading water, yeah, and coping.
Cassie, I mean, they must be proud of you now.
Yeah, they are. And I think it's the same for sobriety, really. Once you're out of that bubble and you're not drinking, you look back and you think, shit, like, how was I coping? How did I manage? And what was I thinking? What were the choices I was making? I was so unconscious. That's how I describe myself. I was so unconscious for years. That's all I'd ever known. Since like really early on, since 12, 13, I was taking drugs and drinking, and that's all I ever knew. And then I had my children, and it was just life. It was just the way life was. And I think a lot of people get to their 40s around that time, and that it starts to show. It takes its toll on your health, your physical health, your mental health, and it certainly did me.
I remember us meeting in another group, like we said, we both started this similar sort of time, didn't we? And I must have been messaging Ben about you coming onto the podcast. I think I was looking for a contact details or something, and I was on your Facebook, Cassie, and I saw that picture from your day one. And my God, you just, aside from looking, if you don't mind me saying this, and I can say this because my day one ain't much better, you look terrible. But take your head out of your hands, because it's changed now. It's okay. But it's the sadness. Cassie,
I know.
You just look sad.
I say I look worse than my nan. Like, my nan looked better at 98 than I did in that picture. I just look terrible. It's the eyes, isn't it? And the skin. Yeah. And you just... I just look so dead. I was dying inside.
How does it make you feel now, looking back at that photo?
It's a great reminder. And I always tell everybody that I help, take videos, take photos. You know, when you keep hitting that day one, keep reminding yourself, take that visual reminder, take those pictures, talk to yourself on a video, say and describe how you're feeling. Because they're the words that are going to save you by looking back at your old self.
Cassie, can we talk about that? Because before we started recording, we were having a chat about Over the Influence and our kind of philosophy here. And we were talking about how the Over the Influence community, in particular, the way that we phrase it is that the OTI community is for people who want to be alcohol free. Now, the reason we say for people who want to be alcohol free is because we know this thing is bloody difficult. We've removed alcohol. Shaz, over 4 years ago, me, 2 years ago. We know that there are really tricky days, and that getting going can be really, really tough. We live in a society where alcohol is accessible, it's accepted, it's everywhere. On our premium podcast this week, there's a survey that's come out that I talk about where 1 in 5 people who are in the UK workforce said that they feel pressure to drink from their workplace. You know, you've got to come to this work event, you've got to drink, you've got to take that client out. You know, they don't want to drink, but they feel pressured to drink by work. It's everywhere. And I think what I'm getting round to is that you shared with us that you started this alcohol-free journey 4 years ago, but there have been a couple of times where you have drank again within that period. I'd really like to talk to you about that. And I think especially this is great to talk about in Dry January, because this thing is bloody difficult, isn't it? And well, rather than me putting words in your mouth, can you tell us your alcohol-free journey so far? And it hasn't necessarily been a linear journey, has it?
Yeah, I got up to 3 years, actually. It was only last year where it all went a bit, Pete Tong, as they say. Well, it didn't go wrong because it's all learning and growth. And I think the biggest thing that you must do is own it and share your story and be proud of your story, because, you know, as you said, it's not a smooth ride. It's not a one size fits all. And I think the way we do it in a more holistic sort of approach, it's about being vulnerable. It's not about carrying shame and hiding away and, oh, you know, I'm no good, I've fouled. I'm not going to reset. As far as I'm concerned, I changed my life 4 years ago in April, on April the 6th this year. It will be 4 years. And I've had a couple of times where I've drank. Mainly one was at my partner's mum's funeral. She died very suddenly. And we was in Scotland and there was lots of people drinking around us. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to have a drink. And I did. So I made that choice. And I've still celebrated my 4 years out, four Christmases alcohol-free. I've just done my fourth alcohol-free Christmas. So I know that the life I want to lead, I want to be an alcohol-free life. I don't say I'm never, ever going to drink again, because there may be a chance that I do. But I know the life that I want to live, and I know that I'm happiest when I've got none of that stuff in my system and my mind is clear and my choices are right, and I can be a shining example for everybody else that I try and help and encourage to be alcohol free too.
You know, I think it goes to show that no matter where you are on this journey, it can be difficult.
I know that
sometimes, you know, people, they'll look at me and they'll look at Ben and go, here they are again, wagging on about sobriety. It's an absolute doddle. Some days it is. Yes, the longer you go, of course, the easier it gets. But I'm more curious to know that you had 3 years sobriety under your belt and you knew how good that all felt. What was it, that situation, that painfully sad situation, and I'm really sorry to hear about that, Cassie, that led you to make that decision?
No, I think it was like the fear of missing out. And I think that's a massive one for a lot of people. You get a bit comfortable in your sobriety and you think, yeah, you start thinking back, oh, I just want to switch off like they do, you know, and just numb, I suppose, and just forget everything. There's nothing else that quite does it for me than alcohol, just to numb you. I know I talk about with people, you know, changing your state, changing your environment, changing your state of mind when you get triggered. Get those shoes on, get out for a walk. But sometimes in certain situations, yeah, and that was quite a hard situation to be in. And I think I was thinking about it leading up to the funeral as well. It was on my mind, and perhaps I should have reached out and spoke to somebody like I tell people to do to me. But perhaps I didn't want to. And it's all learning, it's all growth, and it's an experiment. And, you know, I got back on it straight away. There was another time on a holiday that I chose to as well, because we was in a very stressful situation. We was on holiday and it was an absolute nightmare. It was like hell. Mosquito land. The hotel was a nightmare. I couldn't get transferred from it.
Was it like the hotel in the Inbetweeners movie?
It was so bad. It was so bad. And And I was just like, I just pressed the effort button. And that was back in the summer. So, and then that's been it. So, you know, we both made that choice to drink together. So perhaps that's hard. Both being in sobriety together. I don't know. You can plant seeds, can't you, in each other's brains. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? And then you bounce off each other. And we'd never drunk. We met each other sober, you know. And it's really funny. I actually prefer the sober him and he prefers the sober me. We both don't like the drinking pair. So this year we are back on it, both of us together. Yeah. And we're united and we're going to smash it this year because we know that our life is so much better without it.
Thank you for being so honest about that, Cassie, because obviously, you know, you said that you're a hairdresser by trade, but you've got this community and, you know, there are different pressures on your shoulders. If you're helping others, then there can be that pressure to kind of, you know, be the perfect version, can't there? And it's, life isn't like that. I always like to say, you know, it's not about how many days you've done. It's about what you've done with those days. And I think when it comes to day counts and goals and targets and milestones, like you said, a milestone doesn't have to be 365 days. A milestone can be, that's my fourth sober Christmas. You know, for me and Sharon, we've chosen, you know, Over the Influence is about full on sobriety. Like we want alcohol free life for us because that works best for us. We don't judge drinkers. We don't judge people who drink. Just for us, that works for us. I think it's really important that the most important bit about what you've said there is that, you know, vulnerability is a superpower. You know, I think I love talking to men about this in particular, that vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is strength. I think the really important thing that you've said is that, okay, you want a fully alcohol-free life. Yes, okay, there are a couple of occasions after 3 years, which is incredible, by the way, but there are a couple of occasions where you had a drink, but you got back on it. And I think that's the difficult bit, I think. And it's something that we're always trying to encourage people to do, is to say, look, don't leave the community. Don't feel like if you've had a blip, for whatever reason it might be, don't feel like you have to leave over the influence now. This could be the most important time of your membership. Stay close to us, because get back on it. Get back onto sobriety. I saw your brow furrow, Shaz, when I said get back on it before. I meant not the booze. Back on sobriety.
No, this is just my face, Ben. This is just how I look. It wasn't a reaction.
But it is that's the important bit, isn't it? It's that, you know, I'm doing it at the moment with, I'm trying to lose, classic January thing, but I'm shredding for the wedding because I'm getting married in August and I want to look good on the photos. So I want to kind of shift that final bit of weight that has been clinging on for ages. But if I have a bad day, if I, you know, let's say I do order a pizza, the important thing is that you don't berate yourself for that. And as long as the next morning I wake up and I'm not giving myself an excuse to do it. I don't want to do it. But at the same time, if it does happen, as long as I get back onto the healthier options the next day, do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I totally get you. In a very long-winded way. And what you said there about judgment as well, I think nobody should judge another person. Nobody's walked in another person's shoes. Nobody knows what that person's been through in their life. Like, I can't judge my partner for having a drink, and he can't judge me. We all make our own choices. We all make our own decisions. We all have to make choices at the end of the day. We all know the right choices that we want to make that's going to lead us down a healthy path. And alcohol is not a healthy choice. It's poison, and it does poison your system and just makes you feel absolutely awful. And yeah, and I just don't want to go back there. I don't want it a part of my life. I definitely want alcohol-free life 100%. And I know when I had my last drink, so I will celebrate that this year. Probably do a little whoop whoop just for me, because I'll know that it's been a whole year that I've achieved again. But I'm still continuing my journey as from April the 6th, 2019, because that's when I changed my life and changed my relationship with alcohol, as far as I'm concerned.
We are just going to take a very quick break from this fantastic chat with Cassie. It is so good to see her again after all this time. And you know what? It's really exposing. We say this a lot, isn't it? Talking about what your drinking was like, talking about what your recovery was like, your reasons for stopping drinking. And I think I really admire Cassie's honesty. It's really quite commendable, because it's dead exposing talking about stuff like this on a podcast. Hasn't this been our most like mega month ever?
We've never seen higher numbers on Over the Influence, which is great.
You know what?
Happy 2023, everyone.
That's great.
Growing. Yeah. This whole sobriety nonsense, it's growing.
This little middle bit, this little sort of break from the chat with Cassie, it wasn't meant to be us blowing smoke up our own arse, was it? So should we move on?
Yes, let's move on, because it's going to be a great month for us, Shaz, because me and you are going to find out about our unique human design. Don't forget, if you listened to the podcast last week, you'll already know all about this. But the fabulous Jamie Cole is starting her course with us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. GMT. And it's called Discovering Your Unique Human Design. Week one, introducing your energetic map. Week two, changing your relationship with authority. Week three, breaking down external validation. And week four, I love the sound of this one, you are the navigator.
It's very deep.
It is deep.
It's deep, but, and it's quirky.
But I am deep. And I'm quirky. Yeah. Just the whole thought process behind these courses, by the way, just very quickly, is that when you go alcohol free, we always say this, don't we? You give up one thing and gain so much more. It's the key that opens many doors. Going alcohol free, it's just the beginning. Adventure awaits. AF adventure awaits. And it's because the most important thing to do when you're first going alcohol free is to concentrate fully on that. If your head hits the pillow and you haven't had a drink that day, you should be celebrating that so much. If you've achieved nothing else that day, but you've remained alcohol free, then that is a good day.
Big up yourself.
That is a successful day.
Yeah.
I think when you get a bit further into the journey, you do start to want to bring in new stuff. Like, you've got the time to think about stuff more. You've got time to do stuff more because you're not in the pub or hungover. You've got this kind of motivation to go, right, you know, I've got real confidence from giving up alcohol. What else can I discover about myself? And that's what we're trying to do with these courses, is to kind of go, look, you've given up the booze. You're doing incredibly well with that. What next? You know, like, we want to give you healthy stuff. Currently, I was about to say healthy stuff for body and mind. It's currently just mind. Annika's manifestation course, which flew, by the way, in January.
That was so
great
cool.
Feedback on that.
Yeah.
Now Jamie's course. But we are bringing in a nutrition course later in the year. Spoiler alert. Tell you more about that later in the year. We are bringing in a course about the healing power of nature later in the year. We'll tell you more about that when it starts to get a bit warmer. We can actually go out and enjoy nature rather than walking around Sefton Park with Dolly shivering, looking at me going, why the hell are we walking? It's bloody raining. Because you're a dog and you need to walk. I want to go home.
Poor little thing.
She's got a coat on. She's got, you know.
You know what we need to do?
OCI dog coats.
Dog merch.
No, yeah. No, we don't need to do
yes,
dog
we
merch.
Do. Save that for
right,
another day.
What we need to do is focus on Jamie's course. Quick reminder, in the first week, you'll be learning about your energetic map. In the second week, you'll be changing your relationship with authority. In week three, you'll be breaking down external validation. And in week four, you'll be discovering how and why you are the navigator of your own life. Just go and have a look at the website, and it's on the drop-down menu. If you click on the members area, it's on the drop-down menu there. If you're not a member, you can still get all the information. You've got to email Shaz, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. It is £60 for four Zooms, and it's every Tuesday, 7 p.m. GMT in February. So it's basically 15 quid a week. That is our member rate, because of course, if you are an OTI member, one of the benefits of membership is you get discounts on everything that we do. If you are a non-member, if you are a listener but you're not an OTI member, let's say not an OTI member yet,
yeah,
it's £80, so it's basically 20 quid a week for non-members. But members, it's 15 quid a week, 60 quid overall. But yeah, it's just a great way to spend a Tuesday and find out more about you and what makes you tick.
Love it. Fantastic stuff. Like Ben said, just drop me. He says, oh, drop us an email. That's a crock of. You're dropping me an email. It's otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Okay, let's get back to our chat with Cassie. You a couple of questions that might make you feel awkward.
Yeah, go for it. I love a bit of awkward.
And, I don't want to put you on the spot or make you feel awkward, but I'm going to ask these questions anyway. There's two. One, do you regret it?
Yep.
Because I'm really interested being, you know, we're similar sort of length of alcohol-free journey. I know, well, one, I could have a drink any time and I don't want to. I choose not to. That's my life because I just love, I bloody love sober life. Two, I think, oh my God, you're the co-host of this amazing alcohol-free podcast. We run an alcohol-free community. A bit like Ben, I'm going really long-winded way of getting to my point. Do you regret doing it? And how do you navigate that given what you do with supporting other people that may have issues with alcohol?
I do regret it. But there's not a lot you can do about it once it's done. And I just, as I've said before, I think it's all about learning. And I can help others navigate that too. And hopefully strengthen them around that time. And say, you know, never become complacent. Never take your foot off the pedal. You know, someone shared in the group this week, Jamie Lee Curtis, 1999 she gave up drink. She still has to work at sobriety every day, and she's been sober that length of time. My uncle, he's been sober 25 years, he still has to work at sobriety, so does my aunt. You know, everybody has to work at it daily, and I think it's about community and about connection. And perhaps I isolated myself a bit at that time, and perhaps I just made it about me and my new relationship, where I think you need other people around you and community around you and connection around you.
I think it's key. It's absolutely key. I don't think I could have done this on my own. And I applaud anybody that tackles sobriety by themselves, because it can be a flipping lonely road at times. It really can. So I think community is absolutely key. And thank you, Cassie. Thank you for your honesty. Like Ben said, appreciate it.
You get zero judgment, zero shame from us. You know, this thing is tricky. We know it is. We've been there. And I think
that, it's so hard.
Did you get any? Did you get any negativity from other people who just
for people that I've shared it with, I haven't got any. They said, you know, you're still bloody amazing, you're still inspiring, you're still a legend, you're so honest. I mean, I've just shared a lot of my story in my group, my community group. I went on this week to sort of talk about alcohol and I ended up spilling out like my whole life story because I've been through like domestic violence and you name it, it's happened to me. When I look back, it's been like a grieving process the last week, really. Sharing my story, writing it down. I've definitely got a book in me, Shaz. Definitely got a book in me.
Cassie.
But I just...
Crack on.
I think I need a few more chapters on the end to sort of add to it. Just to make
some
it positive really
ones.
A bestseller.
Some really good positive chapters, Cassie.
Yeah, some positive chapters. Absolutely. Yeah, I've just been through a hell of a lot when I go look back at my life. You know, having my hips, I think... where I had osteoarthritis in my hips, I was self-medicating with alcohol with that. So that just made things worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I couldn't even walk up the stairs and I was 43. To then run a marathon a few years later.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I was really proud of myself for what I achieved. Really, really proud.
So you've told us about your journey, to date, and the occasions where you've made the decision to have a drink. Talk to us now on the other side of that about, I mean, you could have carried on, you know, alcohol's an addictive substance. You could have gone, right, that's it, you're on the slippery slope, but you've decided not to do that. Where are you at now, Cassie?
Oh, now I am fully focused on alcohol-free 2023. Yeah, I've started
a good
my...
ring to it, that. I like a name.
Yeah. And yeah, obviously I have my own little community that I'm trying to build. My own habit change challenge. So I think it's important to be a leader, a role model, and to connect with those values that I really wanna be. Journaling is a massive thing to me. I journal every morning, so I had stopped writing down be alcohol free because it was just a part of me. But I don't think ever take that for granted. Always connect with that. You need to be, you know, I connect with being healthy every day, being happy, being inspiring, being brave, being myself, being authentic, and honest. So why not carry on connecting, being alcohol free and making sure that I cement that into my life every day because it's so important to me. It's pivotal. It's up there for everything else in my life. Yeah, I just want to build my community and help as many people as I can make habit change.
Can we talk about habits more? I love stuff like this.
Ben's favourite subject, seriously.
Oh, absolutely love it. And obviously it's January.
He's
so
a habit
stacker. Thinking about that.
You're habit stacking.
Well, I don't call it habit stacking, but I'm trying my
best. I'll squat now while I'm...
Cassie is squatting on the Zoom call. I'm into it because I'm into the kind of psychology of habits. I think especially at this time of year, it's really good to talk about habits. Mine have been a bit thrown off already. And I think this, you know, Jem's gone back to work this week. And so I started January and kind of really started to get into good habits. And then our number one goal and priority this week is just to get Jem back to work, happy, you know, the house is still running, it's not fallen down by the time she gets home, etc. So I've kind of gone a bit wonky. What's your approach to habits? Like, what do you talk to people about when it comes to setting habits?
I go for, well, what I've said in January is that they have one goal at a time. So I want them to go all in on one goal. If it's building a morning routine into their life, then brilliant. If it's building a bedtime routine, if it's working on relationships and meaningful connection, if it's working on movement, if it's working on nutrition, if it's working on alcohol free, just concentrate on that one thing for a whole month until you cement it into your life and make it a part of you. and then move on to the next one. I don't think people should overload with their cells with too many things at once. And I think it's really important to, yeah, especially with alcohol-free, because that can be tough, right? Can be really tough in the early days. And I think you really need to give your all on planning around your day, when your trigger points are. You've got to hone in on that one habit. So that's my take on it.
Obviously, we will, you know, we talk about this all the time. We are an alcohol-free podcast, so we are slightly biased. But I think, you know, in terms of the alcohol one, we always say that to people who are starting out on an alcohol-free journey, just to say, look, don't worry about everything else at the moment. You know, giving up booze, it's the key that unlocks so many of the doors. You know, you give up one thing, but you gain so much more. But it doesn't all have to happen at once, does it? Like, especially, I think, with the alcohol side of it, if you concentrate on every night when you, your head hits the pillow and you haven't had a drink that day, you should congratulate yourself and go, bloody brilliant. When you wake up the next morning, I still haven't had a drink in January yet. I'm doing this dry January thing. Be really proud of yourself for doing it, because it is bloody difficult, especially in the early days. If you focus on the alcohol, removing the alcohol, first of all these other good things then do start to happen, don't they? You can then free up the space to think about the nutrition. You can free up the space to think about the time, because that's what, you know, giving up alcohol gives you. It gives you time, energy, motivation. But you've got to focus on that first. You've got to get that one nailed first, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think, you know, everything comes at the right time. I gave up smoking 6 months after I gave up drinking. And I don't even think I started journaling till like a few months after. I used to think, what's journaling? I don't know what that is. And meditation, what's meditation?
Seriously, Cassie, it's, yeah, I love what Ben said. I keep saying, well, I'm just focusing on the alcohol for now. We're like 4 years and four a bit years down the line, Sharon. You can't stop wheeling out that excuse. But you mentioned journaling a little bit earlier, Cassie, and Claire, who's a community member watching the call, she said, it's taken me 3 years, but I have finally started journaling and I get it. Now, you see, I haven't done it. I don't get it. I know I need to. And the other thing is meditation. I think it could possibly change my frenetic cracker's life. But I don't know where to start.
It's just an amazing tool. It's an amazing tool, meditation. Start with an app. Start with Headspace. I don't know if you're allowed to say stuff like that on here.
Yeah, of course you are.
But Headspace, Calm App, Insight Timer. These are all, Insight Timer is a free app. The other two are paying ones.
I'll tell you what now, get a load of this. So I got my new activity watch for Christmas. In fact, it normally starts talking to me during a podcast because I'm that crap at knowing what I'm doing.
It tells you off, doesn't it?
It does.
It tells you off your
basically
watch.
Basically, it says, Shaz, your ass is fat, get up and move. See, it's doing stuff now. I don't want the timing.
Breathe, it tells you.
Mindfulness, right? Mindfulness. I reflected for 1 minute last week.
That was good.
Really, it's a start.
That was a habit.
Breathe.
That was the start of a habit.
But I've done it in the 49 years on this planet. I've reflected for 1 minute, Cassie. I've got a long way to go.
Have you closed your rings today, Sharon? That's what your watch tells
you. Hang on, let me just check. Wait,
definitely. One in four people who listen to this podcast are American, and they don't get why we find it funny that you've got to close your rings every day.
No, well, I've closed the blue ones. Don't even know
childish,
what it stands for.
Immature.
Oh, don't start on the rings, Claire says.
Yeah. We're going down another weird cul-de-sac. Let's bring it back. What were we saying, Ben? Help me out.
Habits. Yeah, that's so it's about stacking those habits together. It's like brushing your teeth. You do it naturally, don't you? Do you brush your teeth? Morning?
Yes.
Night? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about stacking it with something else. So when you brush your teeth, could you do it more mindfully? Could you close your eyes and while you're brushing, just do it a little bit more mindfully? And it's about just bringing yourself into that present moment and stacking it on with another habit. When you're sitting there and you're waiting for the kettle to boil, could you do something then? Could you stack another habit on then, another healthy little habit that's going to just take up that little moment that you're waiting for that kettle to boil?
Well, my habit at the moment when the kettle's boiling is going to the treat drawer or the fridge. That's my...
That's not a healthy habit.
I know.
It is a habit.
It's not a healthy habit. Yeah, and it's seven times a day.
Cassie, you've mentioned this phrase a couple of times now, and I actually think I might have got it wrong in my head. Can you define habit stacking then? Is it doing two things at once? Like you just explained it then as by saying, you know, when you're brushing your teeth, be a bit more mindful. When you're boiling the kettle, do some squats or whatever. Is that what habit stacking is in the kind of industry definition?
Yeah, that's how I would believe in it. It's about finding little pockets and linking habits together. So you're creating another habit with something that you already do. So while you're sitting there waiting for the kettle and you're thinking about, you know, what Deirdre done up the road and what this person's done down here, you could do 20 squats or something. You know, you're stacking in something healthier and doing it while you've got the time. And the same with your teeth. I'm just trying to bring a little bit of like mindfulness and meditation into Sharon's day by brushing her teeth and trying to be more aware.
We're going to need a whole other episode, Cassie, for this. We really are. I'm a lost cause.
When you're brushing your teeth, what are you normally, thinking about? Just mindless stuff? Try and focus and bring yourself into the moment and do it properly.
Cassie, thank you so much. Just before you go, Kaz has asked a question in the chat box. Kaz is one of our community members. She says, how difficult was it to get back on track after you drank? She says, it's taken me 10 months to get rid of the cravings. And I think if I allowed myself to drink, I'd be back to square one again. She says, kudos for getting straight back on it.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty lucky, to be honest with you, because most people that I know that have gone back just had that one drink, that's it. They're buggered for 8, 9 months, 10 months, a year, you know. And I suppose I have felt so many benefits of an alcohol-free life compared to what my life was like before. I say it's like God's given me a big slap round the face and like, Cassie, sort yourself out. And I've just stopped again straight away. It didn't spiral out of control. I was really lucky.
It could have done though, couldn't it? Realistically, it could have done.
That's the chance you take, isn't it? I always say it's like you're playing Russian roulette with your life, aren't you? Because you just don't know. You don't know how your body's going to react. But I think it's all about mindset and working on your mindset because, yeah, if you do all that work and you put you get all those tools in place, you know what to do. And I think having helped so many other people as well, I've helped so many people change their relationship with alcohol. How could I let all them people down? It's like what you were saying, Chaz. You couldn't let the community down that you're involved with now. You couldn't have a drink because you just feel so guilty.
It's you don't unlearn all those things, do you? By having, and I think that's a really important thing to say, is that obviously the ideal situation is that you just keep building the confidence, you keep getting happier and more confidently alcohol free, and you don't have that drink. But I do think it's important to say that. You don't, it was 3 years. That's 3 years that it's not wasted time, is it? That 3 years. That 3 years enabled you and it gave you the kind of the skills and the understanding and the education to get back to alcohol free life. You know, if without that 3 years, it very well could have been, you know, 9 months for you. That it's not wasted time, is it?
No, absolutely not. And people that I help now, we always look at percentages of how well they've done compared to the year before. You know, if they've managed 300 days out of 365, well, how bad's that? That's not bad at all. That's progress. And then as long as they're making progress each year, it's progress, not perfection. That's what I always say to people. Don't beat yourself up. Just get back on it straight away and keep moving forward and keep moving forward in the direction that you know that you want to live your life. They wouldn't be here trying to change things, would they, if they didn't want it. If they didn't want the alcohol-free life.
You've sort of answered my final question that I'd like to ask you. This podcast will be released in January. There'll be people that have slipped up along the way, might have slipped up the day before they've listened to this, could be listening to this with a raging hangover and thinking, God, this is hard. This is hard. What would you say?
This is hard, but choose your hard. It's hard drinking, you know. I just think... Yeah, just try your hardest each and every day to just try and be the better version of yourself and it will work eventually. It does click and it's totally life-changing. Listen to the podcast, read the books, like have all your tools on hand and plan your evening. When that wine witch comes knocking, yeah, get rid of her. Get rid of her, put her back in her box and say, no, I've got my tools and I'm going to beat this. I don't get that, though. I haven't had that wine witch calling like I used to.
Well, we really appreciate your honesty. Thank you so much for talking about some really personal things. Really, really appreciate it. If people are listening and they want a bit more info about what you do, Cassie, what you get up to and your groups and whatnot, where can they find that info?
Yeah, so I'm A New You Community and that's on Facebook. I'm Cassie Ridley on Facebook and I have a website that's under construction and that's anycoaching.co.uk and that's an A New You as well. So it's all about community, connection and just working together. Not about perfection, but about progress. That's what it's all about.
Huge thanks to Cassie Ridley, another marvellous guest on Over the Influence. Really enjoyed that chat. And I know we've mentioned it throughout. Big up the honesty. It's a lot to talk about, isn't it? I think particularly when you've been on an alcohol-free journey for so long and then you make a decision to take a drink and then get back on it, but talk about that as well and talk about it on a podcast that's listened to by thousands of people worldwide. Every credit, really appreciated her honesty and it was so great to catch up with Cassie again after many, many years.
It reminded me of the episode we did with Chris Anthony, the sober exec, when he, I can't remember how many years alcohol free he was when we spoke to him, but he said, you know, we're all still 1 foot away from the ditch.
He did.
And I thought that was really interesting when he said that. Yeah. 'Cause you kind of think like, well, surely, you know, it does get easier. Of course it does. And the kind of cravings or temptations or whatever you want to call them, they do get further and fewer. No, fewer and further apart. Yeah,
so anyway, beginning with F.
It happens less. It happens less. But at the same time, I think, you know, we always talk in the community about dialing it up and dialing it down. Like, our aim isn't to constantly think about sobriety. We want to help people to become happy, confident, non-drinkers. But you can be a year in, you can be 10 years in, and it can sometimes just catch you out. And if you are starting to feel, you know, oh, actually, I'm starting to think about booze a bit more, dial up the content, listen to some more podcasts,
yeah,
read some more Quitlet. If you get to the point where you go, the only bloody books I've read recently are Quitlet books, dial it back down again. Yeah. You know, go order the latest
Jilly Cooper
novel.
Why did we both say Jilly Cooper? Why?
We're obviously both big fans. See you at book club, 7 p.m. Wednesday.
That's tragic. I'll tell you what you can do, actually. If you want to dial it down, do that. Move away. If you want to dial it up, and if this isn't enough once a week in your ears, you do know you can get Over the Influence twice a week in your ears. So if you're wanting to dial it up, we do a premium pod episode as well, overtheinfluence.supercast.com. And if you were to dial it up today, subscribe to that. I reckon there's around a squillion episodes. There's a shed load in the bin.
There's loads. We've been doing it every week for months and months and months.
There's a lot it's basically to go just, at.
The premium podcast is basically like this, these middle and end bits that me and Shaz just recorded without the guest. It's just us having a chat about alcohol-free life.
But sometimes I feel that I don't know if it's because we're really comfortable. Not that we're not comfortable doing this. Absolutely we are. But we sort of not switch off. I think we forget sometimes that we're recording and we keep chatting.
Yes.
And then we go publish and it's out there. Mm. It's a little bit more exciting.
And someone says to you, you have a lunch in Liverpool and someone goes, oh, I didn't know that you felt this way about this. And you go, well, I didn't know that you did.
How did you know that?
The premium pod.
Oh, but, it was another massive overshare.
Coming soon to Apple Podcasts, by the way. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then very soon you'll be able to subscribe to the premium pod through the Apple Podcast channel.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. But more information on that coming soon, because I need to send an email that I haven't sent.
Yes, you do. Ben, I've got a concern. I'm just looking at the battery on my laptop, right? Because I'm looking
nice so professional.
Ever, seriously, I'm like, hang on. If this cuts out at any point, if this podcast episode simply just ends, it's because my battery has gone. But before we go,
brilliant.
A very quick
one. No, let's end. Go on, quick.
Let's quickly talk about this. I've probably got about less than 2 minutes. Course running tomorrow. Jamie Cole. It's going to be fantastic. It's for members. It's for non-members. It proper floats your boat, this, doesn't it? Your human design.
Yes, discover your unique human design with Jamie Cole. Week one, introducing your energetic map. Week two, changing your relationship with authority. Week three session, breaking down external validation. And week four, you are the navigator. I said this last week and I'm going to say it again. I don't fully understand all of this yet, to be perfectly honest, but I trust Jamie.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's everything. Like, we did that episode with her back in October, Jamie Cole, the honest quitter. And, you know, sometimes you just come off an episode and you go, this person's going to be in our life for a while. Like, I really like her. And that's exactly the vibe I got from Jamie then. And I'm so chuffed she's doing this with us because she's such a lovely human, as well as being really knowledgeable. Yeah. Just a really lovely person.
You took the words right out of my mouth there. If somebody was to say to me, describe Jamie, I'd go, she is one of the loveliest human beings that I've ever met. And actually, I've never met her in person because she's in the States. We're over here. We do these things over Zoom. But there's a connection. There's a vibe, isn't there?
I said
to you when she was coming on the pod, I said, you're going to really like this woman. You're going to really like her. And it was absolutely spot on. So if you are interested in that course, what's it called again, Ben?
Discovering Your Human Design. And it starts tomorrow.
This is available to members of the community and non-members. One of the perks of being a member is that you get stuff like this discounted, but we want it to be open to all. So if you are a listener to the pod and you are interested in this course, you need to drop me an email ASAP, i.e. today. It'll cost you £80 as a non-member for a four-week course, so that obviously works out at £20 a week. If you are a member, it's £60, £15 a week. And if you're not a member, just drop me an email either otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk and we will send some details your way. Really looking forward to it. Another great episode, if we do say so ourselves. Really enjoyed that, Ben. Thank you. Thank you, Cassie. At same time next week, Ben, he's flashing red. My battery's flashing red.
Let's go. See you next week.
Bye.